Chapter 1. The Birth. In 1860, the proper thing to do was to have babies at home. However, today, or so they tell me, the high gods of medicine have declared that the first cries of babies should be shouted within the pure and anaesthetic air of a hospital, a fashionable one preferably. So, one day in the summer of 1860, 50 years before this was considered normal, young Mr. and Mrs. Button decided to have their first baby in a hospital. Who knows if this anachronism had any effect on the extraordinary story I'm about to tell you. Let me tell you about it, so you can decide for yourself. Before the war, the Buttons were envied in all Baltimore for their social and financial position. They were related to the this family and the that family, and that, as every Southerner knew, allowed them to be part of the Confederacy's aristocracy. It was the first time that they had had the opportunity to try that old, charming tradition of having babies, so Mr. Button was naturally nervous. He hoped it would be a boy, so that he could send him to Yale College in Connecticut, where, by the way, he himself had studied for 4 full years, and had been known as Cuff. Quite an obvious nickname, don't you think? The September morning devoted to the child's birth was a big day for Mr. Button, and he was very nervous. He woke up at 6 o'clock, got busy with improving the already perfect suit he wanted to wear, and then hurried along the streets of Baltimore to go to the hospital to find out if the night had been productive. When he was 100 meters from the Maryland Private Hospital, he saw the family doctor, Dr. Keene, going down the front steps and rubbing his hands. What kind of good doctor doesn't rub their hands while walking? It's the ethics of their profession that requires it. Mr. Button, president of Roger Button and Company, started to run toward him with much less dignity than you would expect from a Southern gentleman of that period.
"Dr. Keene,"
he called.
"Oh, Dr. Keene, what happened?"
asked Mr. Button as he joined him, flushed.
"What was it? How is she? A boy? Who is it? What?"
The doctor heard him, turned around, and a curious expression appeared on his medicinal face.
"What are you talking about? I don't understand," said Dr. Keene severely. He looked rather annoyed.
"Is the child born?"
Mr. Button asked, worried. Dr. Keene frowned.
"Yes, I suppose so. Somehow."
Again, he threw an odd look at Mr. Button.
Is my wife all right?"
"Yes."
"Is it a boy or a girl?"
"Come on, now,"
cried an upset Dr. Keene.
"You should go and see for yourself. Unacceptable."
He then added between his teeth,
"Do you think a case like this will help my professional reputation? One more would ruin me, ruin anybody, actually."
"What's the matter?"
demanded Mr. Button, shocked.
"Triplets?"
"No, not triplets," answered the doctor unpleasantly. "Anyway, you can go and see for yourself. And get another doctor. I brought you into the world, young man, and I have been your doctor for the last 40 years. But I'm done with you. I don't want to see you or any of your relatives ever again. Goodbye."
With no other words, he drove away angrily in his carriage, which was waiting for him right in front of the hospital. Mr. Button stood there on the sidewalk, shocked and shaking from head to foot. What horrible accident had happened? In one moment, he had lost all his desire to go into the hospital, and it took all his willpower to finally go up the stairs and enter the front door of the Maryland Private Hospital for Ladies and Gentlemen. A nurse was sitting behind a desk in a dark hall. Hiding his shame, Mr. Button approached her.
"Good morning,"
she said nicely.
"Good morning, I am Mr. Button."
When she heard those words, a look of pure terror appeared on her face. She stood up so fast that it seemed she wanted to fly away from the hall, and only with great difficulty remained there.
"I want to see my child,"
said Mr. Button. The nurse gave a little scream.
Of course,"
she cried hysterically.
"Upstairs, right upstairs, go up."
She pointed in the direction, and Mr. Button was covered in cool sweat as, uncertainly, he began to go up to the second floor. In the hall upstairs, he met another nurse who was coming toward him, a basin in her hand.
"I'm Mr. Button,"
he managed to say.
"I want to see my..."
Clank, clank. The basin fell to the floor and rolled away down the stairs, as if sharing the same terror that Mr. Button was provoking in everyone.
"I want to see my child,"
said Mr. Button, now almost shrieking. He was about to collapse. Clank. The basin had reached the first floor. The nurse recovered a little and looked at Mr. Button with deep contempt.
"All right, Mr. Button,"
she agreed in a low voice.
"Very well, but if you knew the state you got us into this morning, perfectly outrageous. The hospital will lose all its reputation after..."
"Hurry,"
he cried in a rough voice.
"I can't stand this."
"Come this way then, Mr. Button."
He followed her with a huge effort. At the end of a long hall, they arrived in what, in the future, was going to be called the crying room, because of the variety of long, painful cries that could be heard there. And they entered.
"Well,"
gasped Mr. Button.
"Which is mine?"
"There,"
said the nurse. Mr. Button's eyes followed her finger, and this is what he saw. Wrapped in a big white blanket and half squeezed into one of the cribs was what seemed to be a 70-year-old man. He had thin, almost white hair on top of his head and a long grey beard attached to his chin, which slowly and ridiculously moved back and forth because of the breeze coming from the window. He looked up at Mr. Button with eyes that were all but bright and that held a silent question.
"Am I mad? Is this some horrible hospital joke?"
Mr. Button shouted angrily, turning his terror into anger.
"It doesn't seem like a joke to us,"
replied the nurse harshly.
"And I don't know if you're mad or not, but this is definitely your child."
More and more cool sweat appeared on Mr. Button's forehead. He closed his eyes and then, opening them, looked again. There was no mistake. A 70-year-old man, a 70-year-old baby, whose legs were too long for the crib and hung over its sides, was looking at him. The old man looked at them peacefully for a moment. Then, suddenly, in an old, cracked voice, asked,
"Are you my father?"
Mr. Button and the nurse were startled.
"Because if you are,"
the old man continued, complaining,
"I wish you would get me out of this place, or at least convince them to provide me with a comfortable rocker."
"Where in God's name did you come from? Who are you?"
exploded Mr. Button without control.
"I can't tell you exactly who I am,"
replied the irritating, complaining voice.
"Because I'm just a few hours old, but my last name is Button, for sure."
"You lie! You're a cheat!"
The old man, annoyed, turned to the nurse and commented in his weak voice,
"Nice way to welcome a newborn child. Nurse, please tell him he's wrong, will you?"
"You're wrong, Mr. Button,"
said the nurse severely.
"This is your child, and you'll have to make the best of it. And, well, You have to take him home with you as soon as possible. Sometime today, I'd say.
Home?
Repeated Mr. Button, unable to believe his ears.
Yes, we can't have him here. We really can't, you know.
I'm really glad of it,
the old man added.
This place is good only for babes with few needs. With all this crying, I haven't been able to sleep a single minute since last night. I even asked for something to eat.
Here, his voice was higher for the protest.
And they brought me a bottle of milk.
Mr. Button collapsed on a chair near his son and hid his face in his hands.
Oh, my God,
he mumbled, terrified.
What will people say? What must I do?
You must take him home,
insisted the nurse.
Immediately.
A grotesque but horribly clear picture formed itself in Mr. Button's tortured mind. A picture of himself walking in the streets of the city, full of people, by the way, with this shocking apparition by his side.
I can't, I can't.
He was almost crying. People would stop to say hi, and what would he say? He would have to introduce this septuagenarian.
This is my son, born early this morning.
And then the old man would put his blanket around him and they would slowly go on, past the shops full of people, past the slave market. For a dark instant, Mr. Button even wished very hard that his son was black. Can you imagine? Past the rich residential neighbourhood, past the home for the aged.
Come on, pull yourself together,
ordered the nurse.
Hey,
the old man announced suddenly.
If you think that I'm walking home in this blanket, you're totally wrong.
Babies always have blankets,
said the nurse. With a nasty look, the old man showed everyone a small white piece of clothing.
Look, this is what they gave me.
Babies always wear those,
pointed out the nurse stubbornly.
Well,
said the old man.
This baby is going to wear nothing in about 2 minutes. This blanket is itchy. You should at least have given me a sheet.
Keep it on,
said Mr. Button in a hurry. He turned to the nurse.
What shall I do?
Go downtown and buy some clothes.
Mr. Button's son's voice followed him down into the hall.
And a cane, Father. I want to have a cane.
Mr. Button left and shut the door with a certain violence. Mr. Button entered the Chesapeake Dry Goods Company.
Good morning,
he said to the clerk nervously.
I want to buy some clothes for my child.
How old is your child, sir?
About 6 hours,
answered Mr. Button without thinking. Clothes for children and babies are in the back.
Well, I don't think, I'm not sure that's what I want. He's an unusually big child, incredibly, large.
They have the largest child sizes.
Where is the boys' department?
Asked Mr. Button, shuffling nervously. He felt that the clerk would surely understand his shocking secret. Right here.
Well,
he hesitated. He hated the idea of dressing his son in men's clothes. If, let's say, he were able to find a very large boy suit, then he could cut off that long and awful beard, dye his white hair brown, and, well, he would manage to hide the worst. This solution would preserve some of his self-respect and, possibly, his position in Baltimore society. However, after a quick and angry search in the boys' department, he realized there were no suits suitable for the newborn Button. He blamed the store, of course. In such cases, the right thing to do is to blame the store. What else? How old did you say your boy was? The clerk was curious.
He's 16.
Oh, I'm sorry then. I thought you said 6 hours. You'll find the youths department over there. A depressed Mr. Button turned away. Then he stopped and, relieved, pointed at a dressed dummy in the window display.
There!
He exclaimed.
I'll take that suit on the dummy.
The clerk looked at him, surprised. But, he protested, that's not a child suit. Well, it is, in fact, but it's for fancy dress. You could wear it yourself.
I'll take it,
insisted his nervous customer.
That's what I want.
The confused clerk obeyed. Angry and frustrated, Mr. Button went back to the hospital, quickly entered the nursery, and almost threw the package at his son.
Here's your clothes,
he snapped. The old man opened the package and observed its contents with curious eyes.
They look weird to me,
he complained.
I don't want people to make fun of me because of... People will make fun of me because of you,
replied Mr. Button, furious.
Don't you worry about how weird you look. Put them on or I'll spank you.
That verb had been very difficult to say, but he thought it was the right thing to say.
All right, Father.
With a clearly ridiculous pretense of respect toward him.
You've lived longer. You know best. Just as you say.
As before, the sound of the word father caused Mr. Button to jump uneasily.
And hurry. I'm hurrying, Father.
When his son was fully dressed, Mr. Button looked at him sadly. The costume was made up of dotted socks, pink pants, a belt, and a blouse with a large white collar. Over this was his son's long grey and white beard, which reached almost the waist. The effect was not good. Not good at all.
Wait!
Mr. Button took some hospital scissors and got rid of a large portion of the beard in 3 quick cuts. But even with this improvement, the overall look was far from perfect. The untidy and thin hair, the watery eyes, and the old teeth were in complete contrast to the silliness of the costume. Mr. Button, however, was adamant. He held out his hand and said, seriously,
"Come along."
His son took the hand with trust.
"What are you going to call me, Dad?"
he asked in an unsure voice while walking away from the nursery.
"Just baby for a while, until you think of a better name."
"I don't know,"
Mr. Button answered severely.
"I think we'll call you Methuselah."